In case you missed it, the first hour of our show, the podcast is up now, wherever you get your podcast or on the free Odyssey app. Our good friend Matthew Collar of Purple Insider joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Matt, we already talked about the Falcons penalty, non-penalty. What were your immediate thoughts when you saw what they dealt to Atlanta for quote-unquote tampering with Kirk Cousins and others?
Yeah, I thought that's about right. I mean, I know that Vikings fans, for some reason, and I don't know where it came from, how it got to be that they thought that they were getting something from this and something from Atlanta. Maybe the Vikings told people that they thought they might, or maybe it was just wishful thinking. But when you look at the tampering penalties that have been handed out over the years, it's pretty light. It's about as much as you would get for jaywalking in regular society. I mean, look, when you go to the NFL Combine and you hang around in a couple of the bars past, say, 11 o'clock at night, you see all sorts of agents, teams, and everybody. Yeah. Even players show up there sometimes, and they're talking to everybody. I mean, it's really impossible. Also, there's this crazy invention called the cell phone, where you can just reach out to someone. There's 14 different social media sites that you could direct message somebody. You could send them a woof for those people who are fans of The Office. You could reach out on MySpace. You could make somebody in your top eight. The point is that the tampering goes on all the time, constantly. And if Kirk Cousins said nothing about it, then we probably wouldn't even have had this be a story.
Yes. Let me jump in here really quick, Pete, and you can take it from here. But Matt, one of the things that drove me crazy about this is, you know, they talked to the team. I guess they must have talked to figure out what exactly happened. To me, there's zero incentive for anyone on the Atlanta Falcons to tell the truth about what actually happened, right? I mean, am I crazy here in saying that there probably was not the whole truth and nothing but the truth told to the league?
Well, let's remember also who Roger Goodell works for, right? He works for the owners. So he's going to interview the team or have his people interview the team, put together a report, and then hand down a massive penalty for what? Not a whole lot, but even if it was worse than that, like you said, it's not like everyone's going to come out and be like, actually, investigator. And, of course, even if it was worse than what they put out there, it's not like Roger Goodell wants to show the world how bad it is. There's really only the one incident where they took away a first-round pick because it was truly insane what Stephen Ross of the Miami Dolphins did. So Tom Brady out on his yacht, offered him a piece of the team and coming back to play for them. Like, that's way beyond what any of this was. And so I think the penalty did fit what I believe the crime is. But also, if you start investigating everybody who sends a few text messages to a player that they want to come play for them, I mean, it's just going to be a complete mess. So I think they wanted this to go away because it's really not that big of a deal. And also, from a Vikings perspective, if the Vikings had tampered with some great defensive tackle, their fans would be like, great, take our fifth-round pick. We'll have the defensive tackle. So nobody cares. You only care when somebody else did it to you.
Well, and the penalty just doesn't matter when you're talking about a fifth-round pick versus what they've done in the past. Like you were talking about that Miami deal with a first-round pick. That's when that really does hurt. I'm curious, Matthew, what do you think, what are your first impressions on all these defensive players that we signed, you know, from Grenard to Van Ginkle to obviously the home favorite of Blake Cashman? And how about the newest cornerback? Because I love what they did with Kyree Jackson. I think he's got the size and could be a great player. But what did it look like to you seeing those guys all out on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I do think they could use some Nigerian linebacker depth still. But, you know, I look at this defense and think about where we were at with it last year around minicamp. And that's before Ivan Pace Jr. had really emerged. But I remember thinking, this is not going to be very good this year. And give Brian Flores all the credit for making them a reasonably good defense last season, and he deserved a lot of the attention that he got for that because the roster was pretty weak and outside of, you know, Danielle Hunter and a couple other players. But I think that they filled it out much better. I mean, when you look at Dallas Turner out there, and I know it's mini camp, but the way Dallas Turner moves is different, and the way that players are talking about Dallas Turner and the fact that he was with the first team through the entire OTAs and mini camp says something about how he's picking up the defense, because Brian Flores does not care where you were drafted, as was proven by Ivan Hayes Jr., that even if you're undrafted, if you're better, you're going to be out there. So the fact that he's got him on the first team says a lot. I've been very impressed with Jonathan Grenard. He's immediately taken a leadership role on the team, which you don't see all the time for players that come from the outside, but he and Dallas Turner have connected really well. He started some kind of fun things around practice with the other defensive players. And you mentioned the cornerback, Shaq Griffin. That was a signing that nobody talked about really at all. It was kind of late in the free agency process, but there'd be kind of a trickle-down effect of signing him if he plays well, and it looked fine to me in minicamp, which is to be able to move Byron Murphy into the slot more often. Last year, basically, Byron Murphy had to be your shutdown corner, your number one corner. But with the emergence of Mekhi Blackmon, a draft pick from last year, and then Shaq Griffin, now he can kind of play the role that they signed him to play, which was more into the nickel. That allows you to take Harrison Smith off the field a little bit more, to keep him more rested, and move, you know, Josh Mattel back to the traditional safety position at times. There's just more opportunity for moving players around, which we know that Brian Flores loves. So I think, and the other thing too is Blake Cashman. I have so much respect for Jordan Hicks. He's one of those guys where you're just kind of, you're in your 30s, you played for a long time, you're in awe of his toughness and all those things. Blake Cashman's a lot younger, a lot more physically gifted, I think, at this point in his career than Jordan Hicks is, which again, I think opens up Brian Flores to do more with him. Flores had to really protect Jordan Hicks when it came to coverage, whereas Blake Cashman is pretty good in coverage. I think that he's just got a lot more options and flexibility, than they had last year. So I think it could be a much better defense. But when you look at the beginning of the year, they're going to face a lot of really tough teams. So it's not going to be easy. They're going to be tested quickly. But at least from a roster perspective, I think it is improved.
Matthew Collar of Purple Insider joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Can I rip you for a second? Are we good enough friends for that?
We've known each other a long time. If you want to try, I don't know if it's a good idea, but you can try it.
Okay. I'm looking on purpleinsider.com, which if you want good Vikings coverage, if you want great Vikings coverage, purpleinsider.com is where it's at, Matthew. So I'll start with a compliment. One of your videos at the bottom, which I did not have a chance to watch the entirety of, is McCarthy's starting chances. Come on. I mean, there is a 0% chance that he's starting week one, right? I mean, are you feeding into this narrative of a quarterback controversy? Are we trying to push this already?
This is the worst rip job you've ever tried, Dave. It's really not your thing. Your thing from the intro is storytelling, I've heard. So maybe stick with that. But no, seriously, in the podcast where we talked about that, McCarthy starting chances, Dane Mizutani, the Pioneer Press, was co-hosting that. He gave it 5%, and I said 20% for us to start on week one. So that's not very high. That's like a 1 in 5 chance. I think that with McCarthy, it's clear that they're taking it slow. I really like what I've seen from Sam Darnold. I was going back to like Jake Plummer for a guy who struggled as a first-round pick and then became good later on in his career for Sam Darnold because he had such a good spring out there. So I don't think it's high chance. I think they are doing the right thing with J.J. McCarthy. But training camp is long. A lot can happen. Guys can get hurt or, whatever. So I don't want to completely dismiss that he's going to take big steps forward. And I really like his approach. I mean, J.J. McCarthy said to us the other day, he's like, I did enough traveling. I don't need to go to Cabo. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be in the facility every day getting ready for training camp. I'm not taking time off through these weeks. So I think that his effort throughout this whole process, he really improved from the first day we saw him until the last day before, they had the summer break. So I think it's possible. I don't think that it's likely, though.
And J.J. Is going to go by Jets, and McCarthy gets to be J.J. now. That's what I saw yesterday. Hey, on top of all that, how about Harrison Smith? You mentioned him just briefly earlier, but 35 years old, Does he look 35 years old to you when you watch him out there, or does he look like he's still got plenty of spring in his step and all the speed that we need?
Yeah, he looks fine. I mean, Harrison Smith knows how to ramp up to the season. Like, I don't think that he is out there competing for anything at this point. He's just trying to learn the new wrinkles of the defense and be at the meetings and everything else. So I don't see him out there, you know, giving 110 like, you know, like some of the younger guys have to do to prove themselves or something like that. But I think that Harrison Smith coming back is a huge deal for them because of the options that it gives them on defense. And we saw that last year with Josh Metellus. It's kind of similar with that domino effect where when you know you have that guy back there, then everybody else can be moved around. Everybody else can just kind of do their job because Harrison Smith's going to take care of everything. And, you know, last year I thought for a guy who's played way too many snaps for his age, I think he cleared 1,100 snaps, which is just wild for somebody. I mean, at his age, I think that Troy Polamalu might have been, like, retired and Ed Reed might have been playing for the Texans. Like, safety is not a position where you see too many guys go deep into their 30s and still play at a high level. So I thought that Harrison Smith did a really good job, but it's kind of all the things that he can do for them, all the places he can line up. And he said that Brian Flores was a big part of this, that he really enjoyed playing for him, kind of having a say in a defense. It sounds like they have this room where everybody's ideas are listened to by Brian Flores. And you're talking about Harrison Smith is a football genius. So the fact that he can be there working with Brian Flores again for another year while they develop some younger players around him, I mean, I think it's a big deal. So I don't have any concerns. Because I also think that Harrison Smith doesn't win with raw speed and power. If he did, he would have had to retire like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's more of his understanding of the game, his preparation, all those things. So I think he could still be a huge contributor to this defense.
Mr. Collar, you're a scholar and a gentleman. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Matthew.
you want to try again, Dave? Got something else?
I guess I'll research. Next time I'll do a better job of ripping you, I promise.
All right, yeah, bring your facts. All right, take care, guys. Thanks for having
me. Take care, buddy.
See you, man.
20% chance J.J. McCarthy's going to come on. All right, we'll take a quick break. Are NFL teams too soft in the, I'll say, off-season and non-regular season practices and camps? Professor Pete joins us next. He's going to preach. We'll be right back. The NFL offseason is in full swing right now. They just finished, was this a mini camp or no? It was mini camp and then OTAs and then all this other stuff. But it's largely non-contact, and I don't think there's any contact, barely, unless you count maybe people getting in fights. Professor, why is this a bad thing? And we were getting ready for the show this morning, and Pete says, I got to go on this, Dave. Like, I need to. They're not hitting. Nobody touches each other. You know, and then you get into the regular season, and we wonder why guys are often injured. Your thoughts on maybe adding – should they add some contact to these off-season camps and OTAs?
You know, in my opinion, the answer is absolutely yes. And this comes from something I've talked about for a really long time, Dave. When we look at the NFL, you have great players, right? The best of the very best. From they could be Division III all the way through the top, you know, national championship teams. And they were well coached and they understand fundamentals, but you have to keep up with those fundamentals. And one of the things that I've noticed over the last 10 or more years in the NFL, because they've negotiated this, and I think it's a mistake, is they don't do very much when they're in full pads. That it's matter of fact, it's a reduced number of practices you can even do throughout the season. And that's mandated by them that they've got that. So I think the problem I see there is guys aren't as good with the fundamentals of tackling. And, you know, it's different. You can catch balls coming off of the jugs machine as much as you want, right? You can do a lot of different things. I mentioned that quarterback in San Francisco just throwing the ball for another hour after the end of practice. It's just Brock Purdy. It's just incredible what they can do on their own. But to do the tackling and to be able to be a very fundamentally sound team, that's kind of gone. Well, Dan Campbell had a great, and I highly recommend people go to Twitter and take a look at what he had to say about how he wants them to be safe. But part of that being safe is being able to tackle the right way. And if you're not doing it on a fairly religious sort of a pattern, you're going to lose that ability on how you can tackle in football. And that's why I think, you know, I watch the NFL as much as anybody. Dave, you guys watch it. I know Charlie watches it. They are fundamentally not very good in the NFL. And it's not because the players suddenly got bad. It's because the players aren't given the opportunity to work as hard as they need to, probably, to have those fundamentals. So I just say, take a look at what Dan Campbell had to say, how he was preaching to his guys on the Detroit Lions after having a 12-5 season. They got a quarterback who's now making $53 million a year. Not so bad. And they just need to get to the next level if they're going to get to the Super Bowl. And I think that one of the things that he was mentioning the other day was, hey, look, we've got to get in full gear. We've got to work on some of these drills. We've got to get better at tackling than we were last year. And he was talking about how it's safer. I totally agree with him on all of it. He's not going out there to beat you up. He's going out to you to get the fundamentals back. It's like golf, right? I mean, could you just step out and play golf every 3 months? Probably not.
I've tried it. It was not a good thing, so I gave it up.
Right. But it's the same thing with football. If you're not doing some of the drills that you need to do and the NFL's just not doing it, you see so many missed tackles in the NFL. And is it because these guys are great players on the offensive side? Sort of. But it's also because fundamentally these guys don't have what they need to be able to do it during the season.
I'll push back a little bit, Pete.
Sure.
And I, you do watch more NFL than any of us, and certainly myself. Here's my problem. If I'm a general manager, if I'm a coach, if I'm, frankly, even a fan of the team, you just paid, what, $50 million for Jared Goff, right? An extension, whatever that extension was worth. I forget what it was. And in the OTA or in the mini camp or even in the preseason camp, you've got some third-round defensive back who's trying to make the team and doing everything he can, comes in on a huge blitz and breaks his shoulder, breaks Jared Goff's shoulder in minicamp, and now all of a sudden that money's gone. The problem is, the reason this has gone away is and I think this with all of my heart, the reason this has gone away is because the good players have gotten just too expensive to risk losing them in an offseason. Mm-hmm. You may lose them in the regular season. I mean, talk to the Jets, talk to the Vikings. But if that injury, and sometimes it could be a non-contact injury. Look at Teddy Bridgewater.
Sure.
But if you're going to run live practice during the off season, you run the risk of losing your Justin Jefferson, your Jared Goff, your Aaron Rodgers, your whoever it is. And that's why you can't do it. These guys are too expensive. You've put too much of your salary on these guys to risk losing them for a season because some hotshot kid from Liberty University or wherever is trying to make the roster and doing what he should be doing.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there, though.
Go ahead.
Even when I was playing, and I'm going back to the 80s, okay, and early 90s, even when I was playing, you do not ever touch a quarterback. So that's off the table. You don't touch a quarterback. That's not part of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just the skills that you need to have mm-hmm. the fundamental side to make tackles. It doesn't mean the entire practice is all full go, and it's not giving the guy from Liberty the opportunity to just lay out JJ. We all know you're not going to do those kinds of things. You're not going to go the missed tackling and a lot of the fundamentals that I'm talking about really exist within the front seven of both the offense and the defense.
But
those linebackers. Oh, go ahead.
And so, how detrimental would it be if on an OTA, a guard or tackle for San Francisco is trying to make the roster and rolls Joey Bosa over and tears three ligaments in his knee, and now he's gone for the season.
That definitely is something that it would have to be considered. But like Dan Campbell,
and I'm playing devil's advocate here because I think you're right. I think you make a great point. The mm-hmm. fundamental and the tackling is awful in the NFL. Nobody knows how to tackle anymore. But I think when you pay the money for these players, you cannot take that risk of losing them in an off-season drill.
Well, it's why also I think you have to do that through drills for the most part. It's mm-hmm. it's less against just going one-on-one. It's more about just doing drills to keep that ability to do that, to keep your head up, to do all those kinds of things. It doesn't mean you're going 11-on-11 and you're going full bore and everybody's going, you know, balls to the wall type of thing or whatever. This is more about just having that ability to make sure that you still keep your head up, to make sure you wrap your arms, to do all those things. And that can be just done in drills, but they don't do it because of the fact that they're not in full con. They literally oftentimes, in most of those practices, it's just helmets or shells, as they like to call it. And once in a while, you might even throw on some shoulder pads. But, you know, once you do that, you're actually getting closer because, let's be honest, most of these guys in the NFL don't put pads in their pants anyway, right? They're just in shorts or they might have just...
Well, one spot they do.
Right, yeah. But you know, it is something of a lost art, and I think that that's something the NFL or a lot of these coaches are starting to figure out is why are we suffering so much on defense? Why can't we make the right tackles? They've just got to work on the fundamentals a lot more than they have.
Coming up next, is it time for the Twins to say goodbye to Alex Kirilloff after this season? We'll talk about that coming up next. You listen to The Huddle. Doubleheader today for the Twins. Game one at 1:10. Game two is, what, 6 o'clock, Charlie?
6:10, yep.
6:10 is the second game. Inside Twins coming up after us today. Bailey Ober takes the hill against the Oakland A's in game one. Game two, Chris Paddock. Chris Paddock's 5-3, Bailey Ober 5-4. One guy who is not going to be playing in that doubleheader today is Alex Kirilloff, who has been on hard times. He has not had a very good start to the 2024 season. His batting average is just .201. He has 5 home runs this year, and it has not been a great season for him. The question now is, what are you going to do to him? What are you going to do with him? Because he's back in the minors, and I believe, Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the last year of his contract that you can send him down to the minors?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way his contract, that sounds right.
I think this is the last year you can do it. So the question now is, what do you do with Alex Kirilloff? Do you try to trade him at the end of the season? To try to see if you can get anything back. You can't do it. I personally, I just think it's bad business to do it in the season when a guy is clearly at his lowest of low. They've invested so much in him at this point. I also think when you look at the way he's played, he plays well when he's in AAA. You know, I mean, like it's not like he's completely gone when he's there. But to me, the biggest reason why you don't trade him at this point is he just hasn't been healthy. He just, I mean, it seems like every year he's bit by this injury bug. And I think also there's a parallel here to be drawn in some way to Byron Buxton, not necessarily in stats, but, you know, you waited out on Byron Buxton, and he's now the last year and this year, it's kind of coming to fruition, and hopefully he stays healthy this rest of the season. I feel like if Kirilloff could get a healthy season in, his numbers would look a lot different, Charlie. I think that means you can't deal him just yet. You put too much in at this point.
But there's no indication that he's injured right now, though. There's zero talk. So he's just having a not great season. I think the better comparison in that regard would be a guy that's on the major league roster right now and has had his ups and downs, but it seems like a viable major league piece, which is what you're looking for. You're looking for a viable major league piece at this point out of some of these players. That's Jose Miranda. He had an absolutely awful season last year. Two seasons ago, everybody said he's going to be the next big thing. He was batting like .400 when he came up. He was playing absolutely incredible. Last season, you know what? Sophomore yips. He did not have a good season. He was sent down. He was injured a little bit, but he just did not play well at the major league level. Back this year, starts down in AAA, has to earn his way back up, and has been a pretty serviceable major league player up to this point. I think that's what you're looking for at this point for Alex Kirilloff. You're not giving up on a player with the type of swing that he has, the type of makeup that he has at this point by any means. He can still absolutely be a viable major league piece for this team. And the way that some of these outfielders have been going for this team too, they are struggling with some of these corner outfielders. We thought we had a glut of them. Turns out a lot of them are struggling right now. You're going to give him every chance to get ready, get in the right mindset, and get that swing good.
Well, but what do they do to get, sorry, go ahead, Pete.
I was just going to say that you know, you look at him last year and what he was able to accomplish, and then you look at this year and how much he's unfortunately diminished in what he's been able to do. But you know, when you look at the games played by this guy over, you know, the last couple of years, it's just amazing how he's just not there, right? I mean, he just hasn't been what I think a lot of folks were really looking forward to, even though last year he played really well. It was one of his best years hitting the ball and everything, but This year, the struggles that he's gone through have just been absolutely awful. And whether or not he's doing okay at AAA or he's hitting the ball better, it has not shown us much as far as at the major league level. So it's got to be concerning, but I don't think you could ever – you wouldn't want to trade him now. I think you've got to figure out a way that to get him back up and to put him in a position to have some more success and then make a decision. And then you've got to be pretty disciplined to how you make that decision. Are we going to get rid of him or not? You don't want to do it when a guy can't hit the ball. And that's kind of where he's found himself now.
Yeah, I mean, baseball's a streaky game. It just is. There are ups and there are downs, particularly when guys are learning, particularly when guys don't have that many major league games all in all because of injury, because of a bunch of different things. He's 26 years old still, Alex Kirilloff is. We generally say the kind of prime of an MLB player is right around 30. You're looking at when they're in their real prime, 30, 31, 29, something around that. He's still got a couple of years before that. He's still in that learning phase. You like when these guys really hit it when they're 25 or 24, but that does not happen every time. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Kirilloff, his head isn't right now. The swing isn't right now. That's fine. That happens. You let him go down. You let him take some cuts. And you say, let's get back at it.
So he's eligible for arbitration next year. So you can't cut. I believe you can't cut his salary by more than 20% in any given year when it comes to arbitration. He's on a one-year, $1.3 million right now. And not a UFA until 2028. So that's interesting too, though, because if you think sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes guys just need a change of scenery too.
Yep.
And maybe that's we've seen in every sport. Maybe that's what Alex Kirilloff needs. And so maybe even though you haven't seen everything from him healthy here, maybe there comes a point where you say, listen, he's just not going to do it in this organization. Yeah. He may be good, but we might be able to get, because he's got some potential still that has not necessarily been shown here, and his salary's low, maybe you do make a move at the end of the season. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but you generally feel when that is the case for a guy. You felt that with maybe a guy like David Ortiz, where you said, man, he is just not putting it together. You felt that even with a guy like Miguel Sano, who has not put it together, mind you, anywhere else at this point, but you felt maybe he just needs a change of scenery. Do you get that feeling off of Alex Kirilloff at this point? Because I sure don't. I don't see that as being a major sticking point for him, that he just needs a fresh start. I just think he because he has performed here. He has had good stretches. Generally, when I see a guy like that, it's, man, they've got talent, but they're just not performing at all.
But you have to figure out when you look at a guy and take emotion out of it. And probably in baseball, even take eye test out of it, because they look more at stats than anything else. Have you, as good as a guy can be, have you truly seen his ceiling? That's what you have to really be honest with yourself. You have to say, listen, we've invested a lot in this guy. We like him. He hasn't been healthy all, and maybe if he does. And there's a lot of maybes there. And so at some point you have to say, do all these maybes add up to the fact that, listen, this is as good as he's going to be, and maybe it's time for us to say, hey, greener pastures for you, and let's see what we can get in return.
Yeah, I think that's preemptive across the board with that.
Is there anything, though, guys, would you lean at all on somebody like Correa or somebody that can maybe get into his head a little bit? Do you think, I mean, is this, what is it that's keeping him? It's not, like you guys said, it's not just about injury. So sometimes it's, how do you get to that next level? How do you return to something that's better? I look at Correa and how about the last five games that guy's had? He's been absolutely on fire. I mean, he went 5-for-6 not too many days ago. So he's been doing things great. We have Royce Lewis, who's another guy who's played unbelievable. Obviously, he's had the injuries. He's not played a lot of games. But when you look around, are they able to get inside of his head a little bit to kind of help him out, to try to get him to the next level again?
It's tough to get inside a guy's head, right? I mean, you don't want to do too much. You don't want to, because once you start telling him that he doesn't have it, and are you going to change things?
But do you want to help him a little bit? Like, maybe you see something in what he's doing that's different than it's been. I mean, because when you look at his numbers, they are I mean, beyond pathetic.
Well, right? That's frequently a big reason why you get sent down, is they want you to work on something. Do they want you to work on your step? They want you to work on, you know, some very minor variation in your swing. That's test it out at a bit of a lower level before you come back and test it out against, you know, the major leaguers. So that's a possibility. I'm sure that they have things that they've seen from him that they're like, hey, maybe if you do this, maybe it's just his eye, maybe it's the headspace. There's a million different things it could be. Like you said, Dave, it's hard to get into, you know, the mind of anybody, let alone a professional athlete. So it's fine to be down at AAA at this point in his career. I think it is just fine what is going on. And, you know, you hope he's back up and hitting the ball hard again, because he does. When he is on and he has his swing going, he has the prettiest swing on the team by far.
And you got to think, too, that year after year, you know, the benefit of playing a full season is that not only do you have a chance to better your stats, but you learn things. You learn little tricks of the trades. You learn how to, you know, they build on each other, right? As a professional athlete, every season builds on itself. This guy's played 4 years. Kirilov's played 4 years. He's only played 249 major league games. That's less than a season and a half. You know, so, I mean, you know, there's still a lot to be seen there and for him to learn in the majors and frankly, in the minors. So I guess I don't have this is a really bad segment because I don't have a good answer one way or the other. I think you could certainly wait and see and make an argument that he's going to get better and that you have to be a little more patient. I could also see an argument where you got to look at this and go, well, maybe he's just not going to be more than this for us. I don't know if I'm in either camp yet.
Sometimes you need to be somewhere else. Sometimes it just happens. You just have to be somewhere else, and maybe that's it too. But I still lean on the fact that the players, and I'm not saying get inside his head and ruin him. I'm just saying maybe they see something that he's doing that's a little bit different. Why is he struggling as much as he is this year? And maybe there's just a few little ideas that they could throw his way.
I'm sure that's happening as we speak, as he's in St. Paul playing for the Saints. Same with Edouard Julien, who's struggling mightily for the Saints as well right now.
Yeah.
And has had
when you start to struggle in AAA, then
that's not good.
Then you got problems. And that's going to be an issue. We'll take a quick break, come back, wrap up the show, and chat about a little bit about the NBA Finals, NHL Finals. What do those teams have that our teams don't? We'll talk about it next.
Oh, boy.
Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, this is a Father's Day song. It's about a new father.
He's great. Big fan. Love it, love it, love it. Pete, what do you got going on tonight? You guys are eating? You cooking out at home or do you go out?
Yeah, I think when it comes to that meal, you know, there's plenty of meals in the day, right? So we start with brunch and then we're going to move on to dinner. And you know what? I'm a simple guy. You throw a pizza in front of me and a nice salad from my wife makes the best salad on the planet Earth. I think I'm pretty good.
Do you cook your pizzas at home? Or do you guys have like a pizza oven or do you go out?
No, we go out. And there's
you got a place?
Oh, there's some places out here that are just phenomenal. Matter of fact, one of them, it's a guy, I won't say the franchise, so probably not supposed to do that, but his ovens are 55 years old, so the flavor that comes out of these ovens is unreal, different than what you see everywhere else, so it's pretty cool. Yum.
I'm a steak guy. I don't know I don't know if we're going to have if we'll have steak tonight, because I'm going be out in the boat this evening, so we'll see what food comes our way this evening. I've been watching, I'll tell you, I watched a little bit of the NBA Finals. I've watched a little bit of the Stanley Cup Finals. I did watch a little bit of both games last night. Doubleheader today for the Twins. Game one at 1:10. Game two is, what, 6 o'clock, Charlie?
6:10, yep.
6:10 is the second game. Inside Twins coming up after us today. Bailey Ober takes the hill against the Oakland A's in game one. Game two, Chris Paddock. Chris Paddock's 5-3, Bailey Ober 5-4. One guy who is not going to be playing in that doubleheader today is Alex Kirilloff, who has been on hard times. He has not had a very good start to the 2024 season. His batting average is just .201. He has five home runs this year, and it has not been a great season for him. The question now is, and what are you going to do to him? What are you going to do with him? Because he's back in the minors, and I believe, Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the last year of his contract that you can send him down to the minors?
I think that's the way his contract sounds, right?
I think this is the last year you can do it. So the question now is, what do you do with Alex Kirilloff? Do you try to trade him at the end of the season to try to see if you can get anything back? You can't do it. I personally... I just think it's bad business to do it in the season when a guy is clearly at his lowest of low. They've invested so much in him at this point. I also think when you look at the way he's played, he plays well when he's in AAA. You know what I mean? Like it's not like he's completely gone when he's there. But to me, the biggest reason why you don't trade him at this point is he just hasn't been healthy. It seems like every year he's bit by this injury bug. And I think also there's a parallel here to be drawn in some way to Byron Buxton, not necessarily in stats, but, you know, you waited out on Byron Buxton, and he's now the last year and this year, it's kind of coming to fruition, and hopefully he stays healthy this rest of the season. I feel like if Kirilloff could get a healthy season in, his numbers would look a lot different, Charlie. I think that means you can't deal him just yet. You put too much in at this point.
But there's no indication that he's injured right now, though. There's zero talk. So he's just having a not great season. I think the better comparison in that regard would be a guy that's on the major league roster right now and has had his ups and downs, but it seems like a viable major league piece, which is what you're looking for. You're looking for a viable major league piece at this point out of some of these players. That's Jose Miranda. He had an absolutely awful season last year. Two seasons ago, everybody said he's going to be the next big thing. He was batting like 400 when he came up. He was playing absolutely incredible. Last season, you know what? Sophomore yips. He did not have a good season. He was sent down. He was injured a little bit, but he just did not play well at the major league level. Back this year, starts down in AAA, has to earn his way back up, and has been a pretty serviceable major league player up to this point. I think that's what you're looking for at this point for Alex Kirilloff. You're not giving up on a player with the type of swing that he has, the type of makeup that he has at this point by any means. He can still absolutely be a viable major league piece for this team. And the way that some of these outfielders have been going for this team too, they are struggling with some of these corner outfielders. We thought we had a glut of them. Turns out a lot of them are struggling right now. You're going to give him every chance to get ready, get in the right mindset, and get that swing good.
Well, but what do they do to get, sorry, go ahead, Peter.
No, I was just going to say that you know, you look at him last year and what he was able to accomplish, and then you look at this year and how much he's unfortunately diminished in what he's been able to do. But you know, when you look at the games played by this guy over, you know, the last couple of years, it's just amazing how he's just not there, right? I mean, he just hasn't been what I think a lot of folks were really looking forward to, even though last year he played really well. It was one of his best years hitting the ball and everything. But this year, the struggles that he's gone through have just been absolutely awful. And whether or not he's doing okay at AAA or he's hitting the ball better, it has not shown us much as far as at the major league level. So it's got to be concerning, but I don't think you could ever – you wouldn't want to trade him now. I think you've got to figure out a way to get him back up and to put him in a position to have some more success and then make a decision. And then you've got to be pretty disciplined to how you make that decision. Are we going to get rid of him or not? You don't want to do it when a guy can't hit the ball, and that's kind of where he's found himself now.
Yeah, I mean, baseball's a streaky game. It just is. There are ups and there are downs, particularly when guys are learning, particularly when guys don't have that many major league games all in all because of injury, because of a bunch of different things. He's 26 years old still, Alex Kirilloff is. We generally say the kind of prime of an MLB player is right around 30. You're looking at when they're in their real prime, 30, 31, 29, something around that. He's still got a couple years before that. He's still in that learning phase. You know, you like when these guys really hit it when they're 25 or 24, but that does not happen every time. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Kirilloff, his head isn't right now. The swinging isn't right now. That's fine. That happens. You let him go down. You let him take some cuts. And you say, let's get back at it.
So he's eligible for arbitration next year. So you can't cut. I believe you can't cut his salary by more than 20% in any given year when it comes to arbitration. He's on a one-year $1.3 million right now. And not a UFA until 2028. So that's interesting too, though, because if you think sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes guys just need a change of scenery too.
Yep.
And maybe that's – we've seen it in every sport. Maybe that's what Alex Kirilloff needs. And so maybe, even though you haven't seen everything from him healthy here, maybe there comes a point where you say, listen, he's just not going to do it in this organization. Yeah. He may be good, but we might be able to get – because he's got – some potential still that has not necessarily been shown here, and his salary's low, maybe you do make a move at the end of the season. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but you generally feel when that is the case for a guy. You felt that with maybe a guy like David Ortiz, where you said, man, he is just not putting it together. You felt that even with a guy like Miguel Snow, who has not put it together, mind you, anywhere else at this point, but you felt maybe he just needs a change of scenery. Do you get that feeling off of Alex Kirilloff at this point? Because I sure don't. I don't see that as being a major sticking point for him, that he just needs a fresh start. I just think he because he has performed here. He has had good stretches. Generally, when I see a guy like that, it's, man, they've got talent, but they're just not performing at all.
But you have to figure out when you look at a guy and take emotion out of it, and probably in baseball even take eye test out of it, because they look more at stats than anything else. Have you, as good as a guy can be, have you truly seen his ceiling? That's what you have to really be honest with yourself. You have to say, listen, we've invested a lot in this guy. We like him. He hasn't been healthy all, and maybe if he does. There's a lot of maybes there. And so at some point you have to say, do all these maybes add up to the fact that, listen, this is as good as he's going to be, and maybe – it's time for us to say, hey, greener pastures for you, and let's see what we can get in return.
Yeah, I think that's preemptive across the board with that.
Is there anything, though, guys, that would you lean at all on somebody like Correa or somebody that can maybe get into his head a little bit? Do you think – I mean, is this – what is it that's keeping him? It's not – like you guys said, it's not just about injury. So sometimes it's – how do you get to that next level? How do you return to something that's better? I look at Correa, and how about the last five games that guy's had? He's been absolutely on fire. I mean, he went 5-for-6 not too many days ago. So he's been doing things great. We have Royce Lewis, who's another guy who's played unbelievable. Obviously, he's had the injuries. He's not played a lot of games. But when you look around, are they able to maybe get inside of his head a little bit to kind of help him out, to try to get him to the next level again?
It's tough to get inside a guy's head, right? I mean, you don't want to do too much. You don't want to, because once you start telling him that he doesn't have it, and are you going to change things?
But do you want to help him a little bit? Like, maybe you see something in what he's doing that's different than it's been. I mean, because when you look at his numbers, they are, I mean, beyond pathetic.
Well, right? And that's frequently a big reason why you get sent down, is they want you to work on something. Do they want you to work on your step? They want you to work on, you know, some very minor variation in your swing. That's test it out at a bit of a lower level before you come back and test it out against, you know, the major leaguers. So that's a possibility. I'm sure that they have things that they've seen from him that they're like, hey, maybe if you do this, maybe it's just his eye, maybe it's the headspace. There's a million different things it could be. Like you said, Dave, it's hard to get into, you know, the mind of anybody, let alone a professional athlete. So it's fine to be down at AAA at this point in his career. I think it is just fine what is going on. And, you know, you hope he's back up and hitting the ball hard again, because he does. When he is on and he has his swing going, he has the prettiest swing on the team by far.
And you got to think, too, that year after year, you know, the benefit of playing a full season is that not only do you have a chance to better your stats, but you learn things. You learn little tricks of the trades. You learn how to, you know, they build on each other, right? As a professional athlete, every season builds on itself. This guy's played 4 years. Kirilloff's played 4 years. He's only played 249 major league games. That's less than a season and a half. You know, so, I mean, you know, there's still a lot to be seen there and for him to learn in the majors and frankly, in the minors. So I guess I don't have this is a really bad segment because I don't have a good answer one way or the other. I think you could certainly wait and see and make an argument that he's going to get better and that you have to be a little more patient. I could also see an argument where you got to look at this and go, well, maybe he's just not going to be more than this for us. I don't know if I'm in either camp yet.
Sometimes you need to be somewhere else. Sometimes it just happens. You just have to be somewhere else, and maybe that's it too. But I still lean on the fact that the players, and I'm not saying get inside his head and ruin him. I'm just saying maybe they see something that he's doing that's a little bit different. Why is he struggling as much as he is this year? And maybe there's just a few little ideas that they could throw his way.
Yeah, I'm sure that's happening as we speak, as he's in St. Paul playing for the Saints. Same with Edouard Julien, who's struggling mightily for the Saints as well right now.
Yeah.
And has
that's,
had
when you start to struggle in AAA, then it's...
That's not good.
Then you got problems. Then you, and that's going to be an issue. We'll take a quick break, come back, wrap up the show, and chat about a little bit about the NBA Finals, NHL Finals. What do those teams have that our teams don't? We'll talk about it next.
Oh, boy.
Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, this is a Father's
Great
Day song. It's about his a new father.
He's great. Big fan. Love it, love it, love it. Pete, what do you got going on tonight? You guys are eating? You cooking out at home or do you go out?
Yeah, I think when it comes to that meal, you know, there's plenty of meals in the day, right? So we start with brunch and then we're going to move on to dinner. And you know what? I'm a simple guy. You throw a pizza in front of me and a nice salad from my wife makes the best salad on the planet Earth. I think I'm pretty good.
Do you cook your pizzas at home? Or do you guys have like a pizza oven or do you go out? Do you
No, we go out. And there's
you got a place?
Oh, there's some places out here that are just phenomenal. Matter of fact, yeah. One of them, it's a guy, I won't say the franchise, so probably not supposed to do that, but his ovens are 55 years old, so
Really?
The flavor that comes out of these ovens is unreal, different than what you see everywhere else, so it's pretty cool.
Yum. I'm a steak guy. I don't know I don't know if we're going to have if we'll have steak tonight because I'm going be out in the boat this evening, so we'll see what food comes our way this evening. I've been watching – I'll tell you, I watched – a little bit of the NBA Finals. I've watched a little bit of the Stanley Cup Finals. I did watch a little bit of both games last night. And I was so impressed with, as much as I hate to say it, Luka came to play last night. Luka Doncic, he was good. I was also really impressed with Connor McDavid for the Edmonton Oilers. Mm. And it just makes me see that that's something that when we look ahead to what's coming for it, specifically, I'll say the Timberwolves franchise just for that, or I mean any of these franchises really. That player that is going to be the best on the biggest stage in our market for male sports, I think to this point is kind of lacking. We just I was really hopeful that Anthony Edwards was going to be it, but it wasn't. He wasn't there.
He's 22. And, he's got a lot of time
22.
To be it.
Yes, he does. That's what I'm saying. We're getting there. We're getting there. But, like, Connor McDavid in particular, he's so much fun to watch. And clearly, Florida's up in this series. And I think they'll probably win because they have Sergei Bobrovsky, who's the best goaltender in the game. But, you know, they're trying everything they can to limit Connor McDavid. Good luck. He's still, I think he passed Gretzky last night for most assists either in a playoffs or in playoffs or a season. I forget. And the guy is so good. He just finds ways to make you pay. And that's what you need to win a championship. You need depth. Yes. You got to have depth. You got to have supporting players. Boston's team on the NBA side is incredible. They have so many guys who can score and who do that well. And Dallas does too behind Luka. But that's what you need. You got to have that guy that you go, okay, tonight's game four. They got to win or else they're going home. And who is that person? And Anthony Edwards, I think, is going to be there probably quicker than anybody else and probably within the next season or two. But not there yet. Granted, again, he's young. He's young. But that's what you need to win championships. You need that guy.
Yeah, and you need to have that depth like you're talking about. I look at Boston, obviously it's Tatum. Everybody talks about him. Jaylen Brown, who, if people don't know this kid went to Cal Berkeley. He's a full academic. The guy has done TED Talks from MIT, for crying out loud. This guy is absolutely brilliant.
I
mean, beyond brilliant. He was part of the chess club at Cal Berkeley. I mean, that gives you a little bit of a flavor for what kind of a guy that he is. But as far as the depth, though, you've got those two big guys, right? And then Porzingis is a guy that if he's there, if he's healthy, he's been phenomenal. But I think you look at Drew Holiday and you go, whoa, this guy is special. Now, is he the most incredible player on the team? No. But when you're talking about depth, this guy is somewhere right behind Tatum and Brown and some of the players that they've got. really, really impressed with what they've been able to do. Obviously, they got blown out the other night. I don't know what in the world happened there. You lose by 38 points.
They gave up. Yeah, they did. They quit.
But nonetheless, they lost that game. I'll tell you what, I think this is a team that's going to – I would put the odds of them winning this next game and winning the whole thing at about 90%. They're just that good, and I think that they're a better team because of their depth than Dallas is right now.
Have a great Father's Day, my friend.
Yeah, you too.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, and we will see you next Sunday. Have a great week, everyone.
Pull out there. Oh, boy.
Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, this is a Father's Day song. It's about a new father.
He's great. Big fan. Love it, love it, love it. Pete, what do you got going on tonight? You guys are eating? You cooking out at home or do you go out?
Yeah, I think when it comes to that meal, you know, there's plenty of meals in the day, right? So we start with brunch and then we're going to move on to dinner. And you know what? I'm a simple guy. You throw a pizza in front of me and a nice salad from my wife makes the best salad on the planet Earth. I think I'm pretty good.
Do you cook your pizzas at home? Or do you guys have like a pizza oven or do you go out?
No, we go out. And there's
you got a place?
Oh, there's some places out here that are just phenomenal. Matter of fact, yeah. One of them, it's a guy, I won't say the franchise, so probably not supposed to do that, but his ovens are 55 years old, so the flavor that comes out of these ovens is unreal, different than what you see everywhere else, so it's pretty cool. Yeah,
I'm a steak guy. I don't know if we'll have steak tonight because I'm going to be out in the boat this evening, so we'll see what food comes our way this evening. I've been watching, I'll tell you, I watched a little bit of the NBA Finals. I've watched a little bit of the Stanley Cup Finals. I did watch a little bit of both games last night. And I was so impressed with, as much as I hate to say it, Luka came to play last night. Luka Doncic, he was good. I was also really impressed with Connor McDavid for the Edmonton Oilers. Mm. And it just makes me see that's something that when we look ahead to what's coming for it, specifically, I'll say the Timberwolves franchise just for that, or I mean any of these franchises really. That player that is going to be the best on the biggest stage in our market for male sports, I think to this point is kind of lacking. We just I was really hopeful that Anthony Edwards was going to be it, but it wasn't. He wasn't there.
He's 22. And, he's got a lot of time 22. To be it.
Yes, he does. That's what I'm saying. We're getting there. We're getting there. But like Connor McDavid in particular, he's so much fun to watch. And clearly, Florida's up in this series, and I think they'll probably win because they have Sergei Bobrovsky, who's the best goaltender in the game. But you know they're trying everything they can to limit Connor McDavid. Good luck. He's still, I think he passed Gretzky last night for most assists either in a playoffs or in playoffs or a season. I forget. And the guy is so good. He just finds ways to make you pay. And that's what you need to win a championship. You need depth. Yes. You got to have depth. You got to have supporting players. Boston's team on the NBA side is incredible. They have so many guys who can score and who do that well. And Dallas does too behind Luka. But that's what you need. You got to have that guy that you go, okay, tonight's game four. They got to win or else they're going home. And who is that person? And Anthony Edwards, I think, is going to be there probably quicker than anybody else and probably within the next season or two. But not there yet. Granted, again, he's young. He's young. But that's what you need to win championships. You need that guy.
Yeah, and you need to have that depth like you're talking about. I look at Boston. Obviously, it's Tatum. Everybody talks about him. Jaylen Brown, who, if people don't know this, this kid went to Cal Berkeley. He's a full academic. The guy has done TED Talks from MIT, for crying out loud. This guy is absolutely brilliant. I mean, beyond brilliant. He was part of the chess club at Cal Berkeley. I mean, that gives you a little bit of a flavor for what kind of a guy that he is. But as far as the depth, though, you've got those two big guys, right? And then Porzingis is a guy that if he's there, if he's healthy, he's been phenomenal. But I think you look at Drew Holiday and you go, whoa, this guy is special. Now, is he the most incredible player on the team? No. But when you're talking about depth, this guy is somewhere right behind Tatum and Brown and some of the players that they've got. really, really impressed with what they've been able to do. Obviously, they got blown out the other night. I don't know what in the world happened there. You lose by 38 points.
They gave up. Yeah, they did. They quit.
But nonetheless, they lost that game. I'll tell you what, I think this is a team that's going to – I would put the odds of them winning this next game and winning the whole thing at about 90%. They're just that good, and I think that they're a better team because of their depth than Dallas is right now.
Have a great Father's Day, my friend.
Yeah, you too.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, and we will see you next Sunday. Have a great week, everyone.
Bull out there.